I invite you now to take your Bibles or your smartphones or tablets, however it is that God's Word accesses you. And if you would open with me to the New Testament, to the very first book in the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. As most of you know, we are preaching through the favorite verses of the leaders of the church, the elders and deacons, Sunday school teachers. Last year we preached through favorite verses of the pastors. Next summer, you get your turn to share with us your favorite verses. If we haven't already preached on them, this summer or last summer, we'll preach on those a year from now. And the verse for today that was chosen, by the way, about a month ago, is a very brief verse out of Matthew 25. I'm going to give you the verse first, and then I'm going to read the entire context, which is a parable told by Jesus. The verse is this: "Inasmuch as if you've done this, as you have done this to the least of these, you have done them unto me." That's the verse. But listen to the context, beginning with Matthew 25, verse 31. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty or give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me.' And then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me.' And then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you and did not serve you?' And then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal fire." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Let your good news come now once again, O Lord, through these words and through your word, through your life, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Inasmuch, that's the old King James language. A lot of people recognize that a lot better. Inasmuch as you did this to the least of these, you were doing it to me, said Jesus. So here's my question of the week. What are the most practical acts of devotion that we can do in life as followers of Jesus? To attend worship regularly? To read the Bible and pray every day? To give generously? Those are the acts of devotion that we usually list. But Jesus says here that the very most important actions or acts of devotion to him that we ever take are the way we love and care for those that everyone else passes by or despises or has forgotten or shoved aside. Jesus called them the least powerful, the least important in the eyes of the world, the hardest to see or to remember. And the shocking thing in this parable is this: when we serve them, we are really serving Jesus. That's what he says in this story. And we are serving him not indirectly, according to Jesus, but directly. Therefore, all our worship, all our Bible reading, all our prayer, all our other acts of devotion, as good as they are worthless, according to Jesus, if they ignore the least of these in our world. Christians are fond of saying that we are the hands and the feet and the eyes of Jesus, and it's true. We are his body here on earth as he lives and loves through his people, which he called church. We are to be Jesus to others. But this story teaches something else, that when we serve and love sacrificially, as Jesus said to, in this story and in many other places, those we serve become Jesus to us. Like those in this parable. Like those in the latter half of this parable. As well as the first half. I hope we have the capacity still to be surprised by this story. When on earth, Jesus, did we do this to you, for you? We didn't see you anywhere. And when you did it to the least of these, he will say, you did it unto me. Jesus builds a contrast, obviously, in this story. Let's look at it very carefully and quickly. There's the first group, the sheep, the good group. These are those who, out of simple gospel love and obedience to Jesus, go about serving and helping those whom no one else will even think about, much less labor for. They are the least and the forgotten, the few and the forlorn, the broken and the messed up, the hungry and the powerless, the thirsty. By the way, water is still one of the largest daily needs of people in the world. He's talking about the people who can't pay you back and who aren't going to make for good press clippings for the organization in the public eye or make you look good. By the way, when people do this kind of thing, when they love the least, these are disciples who don't get noticed, aren't famous, and don't draw attention to themselves or crow about their victories. They just keep serving, sometimes without anyone ever saying thank you. And in this story, Jesus goes out of his way to say, I'm going to honor them and welcome them at the end of days. They were right where they were supposed to be. With the same types of people, I was famous, Jesus is saying, for loving and accepting and enjoying their company. Jesus so identified with the powerless of the earth that he said to serve them is to serve him. And then there's the second group. That's the contrast, the goats. I even heard Dale Bruner one time translate this by saying, the senior pastors. These are the people who took care of themselves and ignored the need of the forgotten, the hungry, the unsheltered, and the guests, the sick, the thirsty, those in prison, those about whom I've heard people say, we're going to take them, lock them up in prison, throw away the key. These are those who stand by and wait for somebody else to do something or judge the powerless by saying something like, well, it's their own dumb fault. And let's just be honest. Jesus is very harsh. He's very harsh with this group. Their lot is, according to Jesus, eternal punishment. Pretty strong language for gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Not so meek and mild here. Not to serve the least of these in the world is very simply to ignore Jesus, not just them. No matter how hard we might try, and I've heard people try, we cannot work our way around this passage. It's pretty straightforward. So I just want to share a few takeaways from it this morning, for us this morning. First of all, what this basically teaches is take action for the least of these. Don't make it too hard. Don't form a committee all the time. Sometimes you need to do that. Get organized. But he's saying, take action. These are your acts of devotion. Don't just feel emotion. This is not about feeling something very warm towards the least of these in the world, but doing something. So many of us substitute feelings for actions when it comes to this kind of thing. Second, beware the bystander effect. The bystander effect is quite well known in social psychology, and it is this. If something is happening that you think would call for the help of a stranger in public, usually someone is being accosted or beaten up or something bad is happening. Someone is being verbally abused. Or there's a racist event going on and it's happening in front of you. The bystander effect is this. If there is a group of people, everyone in the group watching the event will wait for someone else to go first. They're waiting for somebody else to call the police, to take action. Therefore, people have a tendency not to do anything. But here's the opposite side of the bystander effect. But if some event like that takes place and it's in public and only one person is there, they will act because they don't get to wait for someone else to take action first. They tend to get immediately involved. Jesus is saying never, ever be a bystander. And let me also point this out. When we do this kind of thing, we are supposed to do it for the other person's sake, not our own. Not our own. This kind of gospel service gets involved where God calls us not in order to get our needs met, but purely in order to love the person or the group that God has called our attention to. So many times we Christians seem to think that we do these kinds of things and what they really accomplish is meeting our own therapeutic needs. We feel guilt and shame about how much the world is suffering, and so we get involved in something that helps others in order to feel better about ourselves. Folks, we need to examine our motives here. All service in the name of Jesus is for the sake of others, not ourselves. There will be many times when we seek to do this kind of thing as a group or as individuals, when we will be or become tired, worn out, when no one will thank us, when the world will not rise up and call us blessed or even care that we've done it. There will be times when we will be maligned for trying to help because we don't do it right or we don't agree with the group in question. The point is never, according to Jesus, the point is never the adulation of the crowds or the affirmation of our culture, but the adulation of Jesus in quietly and sacrificially loving and serving, even if we are misunderstood or maligned, even if we make mistakes as we do so. As Mother Teresa put it on these kinds of questions, you will be criticized, you will be beaten up by people emotionally when you try to love. Love anyway. Love anyway. And may I say, when we do this kind of service, we do it not to help, but to learn. One of the most important things I think we can ever do in our service is to humble ourselves before those who have been treated with the least respect in our time and in our culture, and learn what life is like from their experience. Just learn. When we go to Senegal, when we go to Haiti, when we go to our neighbor next door, when our high school students go on their mission trip later this summer, when we do anything we do as Christians in order to serve Jesus, we should first and foremost always go to learn, not to teach, but learn. Pastor I know named Tom Long took a semi-involved man from his church with him to a homeless shelter one night to serve overnight. They helped the clients there have a meal, get settled, feel safe, be cared for. It was a part of a ministry of their church, similar to what we do with Winter Hospitality Overflow here every winter. That man from that church happened to be a reporter for a local radio station. So after they had finished their duties for the evening meal and were settling down for the night in their own room, the reporter got his little tape recorder and microphone, and he went out to do a few interviews of the guests of the shelter for his radio station. He was gone, Tom said, a very long time. Finally, at about 2 a.m, he said, this gentleman came back into their room and just sat on his bed for a long time, quiet, thoughtful. Tom asked him, what did you see and what did you hear? How had the interviews gone? Here's what he said. Well, Pastor, it kind of has me thinking. You know, I'm not much of a theologian or anything, and I haven't read the Bible as much as I should, but as I've met and spent time with these people tonight, all I can say is that somehow I feel like I've met Jesus. Like I've actually been in His presence when I've been with them. I've never felt that before. And Tom responded, no, I think your theology is actually spot on. And you are actually doing what the Bible teaches, not just hearing it. Acts of devotion to Jesus will always, capital A, always, involve loving and serving the least of these. The last few weeks in our culture have seen yet another outburst of high dudgeon, debate, anger, and shouting matches, at the very least on television, over yet another hot-button social issue in our country. They seem to come along these last few years, not just the last two. They seem to come along with some frequency and regularity, do they not? And if I were to comment on each one as they got riled up in the media, there would be no end to it. And yet the timing of this passage this week, I think, is very powerful. We all know what I'm talking about this time. Immigration policies, and in particular the zero tolerance policy on the southern border recently that has resulted, although it has been going on in other forms for the last three presidencies, but in greater numbers under the current administration, it has resulted in families being separated while their cases related to asylum are being adjudicated. And whatever one thinks about the policies in question, whatever one's politics are, and we are on different sides of that debate, and there's nothing wrong with that, whatever the proper solution might be, and it's not so easy to figure out, it's complex, let's admit it, we can say this, the way we are called to approach this by Jesus is to serve and seek the best for those who are the least powerful and the greatest in need. At the very least, we can say that. This will get resolved one way or another, but new issues will always arise. After all, we live in a broken world that isn't redeemed yet, though Jesus is working on it, and He will never quit until He's done. Until then, prayerfully and diligently engage in acts of devotion to Jesus by loving and serving the least of these, whenever and wherever they present themselves to you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, sometimes your words comfort, and sometimes they challenge the socks off our feet. Challenge us and encourage us, strengthen us, and enable us to love the way you loved. In your name we pray. Amen.